Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're back. It is Marks and Reese. Already a Thursday here. Ike, week went by quickly.
Friday Eve.
I love it. A good Thursday night matchup tonight.
Love it.
Can't wait. Yeah. I love the Seahawks tonight, by the way.
Oh, yeah, really?
I think they were the play, absolutely. Yeah, like a big emotional Hail Mary win, right? Like
they hard to come back from that.
They probably should have lost that game, mm-hmm. right? Like they're still a young team, and Seattle's kind of been scuffling as of late. Russell Wilson's turning the ball all over. This feels like a response game to me for the Seahawks.
And they beat them already.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a revenge game.
And that was a fortunate win as well. Arizona's been winning some close games here, and I like their upside, but I don't think they're on the Seahawks level yet. Shiel Kapati of The Athletic writes about the NFL and, of course, the Eagles. Check him out. What's up, Shiel?
I just turned in my picks column, and I've got Seahawks -2.5. You know, they've never lost three in a row since Russell Wilson became quarterback in 2012. So I think you hit on the right notes there. I like them tonight also.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. All right, one thing I know you didn't like, Shiel, was the game plan last week by the Eagles against the Giants. And, like, you said, you wrote it in your post today, and I think a lot of Eagles fans were saying the same thing. Like, you have 2 weeks to prepare, and you come out with pretty much the same offense we've seen all season?
Yeah, you know, you felt like if there was a time where they were going to get their season turned around and come up with some answers on offense, it was going to be that week. You know, they have a bye week. It's a defense they just faced 2 weeks earlier. It's not like they are going to see a lot of surprises. They should know how to attack that defense. And, you know, just looking at a play like they had in the fourth quarter against the Giants, where it's fourth down and the best play you can come up with is a back shoulder throw at Jalen Reagor against James Bradbury, who Bradbury's been playing like an all-pro corner all year. So, you know, you're attacking their best player with your rookie wide receiver, and there's no, you know, there's no pick play. There's nothing to scheme a guy open. It's just one-on-one, our guy versus your guy, and I've seen too much of that this year, and their guys aren't good enough to win those one-on-one battles in those high-leverage situations. So I think Eagles fans have a right to be disappointed about that game plan.
Mm. It's interesting. You wrote, like, Shiel, I'm not sure what the Eagles were trying to do this offseason, right? Like, were they trying to be competitive while getting younger and rebuilding the team, right? Because as you point out, they could have traded for DeAndre Hopkins. They could have traded for Stephon Diggs. They could have signed Robbie Anderson. But they decided to draft a couple of wide receivers. And the guys that they passed on in free agency and via the trades, I mean, you wouldn't like to have them with Carson Wentz for the next 3, 4, 5 years?
Yeah, you know, that really stuck out to me watching all the games in the NFL on Sunday. You know, you watch an Eagles game and you see what's happening there and they can't do anything offensively. You see a guy like Javon Hargrave, who you signed to $13 million a year. He's got 4 solo tackles the entire season. He's touched the quarterback 3 times, and you're paying him $13 million a year. So you look at some of their offseason moves, and then, of course, everybody, you know, turns the channel, and you watch that Vikings-Cardinals game, and you see what's going on with DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs. And listen, these are not easy decisions, and you can play this game with every team in the NFL. You can say, well, they should have done this, they should have done this after the fact. But, you know, you really do add it all up from last offseason, and you've got to be disappointed. Even when you know, I like Jalen Reagor. I thought Jalen Reagor was a good pick for them, but I'm sure you're watching that game and you're saying Jalen Reagor, and then you're watching Justin Jefferson the next night, what he's doing for the Vikings. And so you kind of add all of those things up, and it did add up to an offseason where you say, man, if they would have done like 1 or 2 things differently, maybe, I'm not saying, you know, it definitely would have worked out, but maybe you're looking at a different type of season for the Eagles.
How do you view this season? Like, how do you evaluate this season, Shiel, if you're Jeffrey Lurie?
You know what really stood out to me is that, you know, statistically, this is going to be, if they stay where they are now, this will be their worst passing offense in the last 20 years. And I think anybody who's looked at Jeffrey Lurie or heard his press conferences since he took over the team, what's the thing he harps on more than anything? It's a passing lead. You got to get the quarterback. We want to get the smart offensive coach. I mean, look at all the coaching hires from Andy Reid, even Chip Kelly. You know, they thought they were getting the bright offensive coach. And then Doug Peterson, they thought they were getting the guy. And, he, you know, Doug Peterson won them a Super Bowl, but he was hired because they thought he could work with quarterbacks. And so, to me, it really stands out that it's not just that they're having a down year and that it's been disappointing. It's the way that it's happening. You know, if they were lighting it up on offense and their defense was a disaster and their special teams were a disaster, well, then I think Jeffrey Lurie could say, well, all right, you know, we can tinker with some things and we can come back and we can run it back. But I think when he looks at all the offseason moves, and again, if it continues this way and if the quarterback looks like he's regressing and if the coaching staff looks like they have no idea how to solve this offensively and if the passing game is the worst it's been for this franchise in 20 years, I mean, I don't know. Then you start asking some really serious questions. So it's obviously a very big, big stretch for this organization here in the next 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, I would have to imagine, right? When it's one, I think he's come to the realization that this isn't the Super Bowl team, right? I know he's that. If he didn't come to that realization before the bye week, after that game Sunday, he certainly knows that now. So when you're looking at this team and figuring out how to get this team better, or what's the biggest issue with the team right now, it's obviously on the field and players. But I'm wondering, I guess I'm looking at he and Howie, right? I'm wondering, is it you have a lack of talent out there, or is it underdeveloped talent, right? So is it the bad players being picked, or is it that the coaching isn't good enough? I'm wondering what, and it's hard for you to know this, but I'm just, what is Jeffrey Lurie looking at this and saying to himself? Like, how does he come to some sort of resolution as to where to go after this season?
Yeah, I feel like every time I've gotten that question, is it, you know, the coaching, the GM, or the quarterback, I just say yes this year. You know, I mean, really, I look at it. I mean, that is what it is. But, you know, I think many of us, I know I had them as like a 9-win team, so I didn't think it was a loaded roster, but I thought it was better than what they've shown so far. And, you know, I was trying to go by sort of player by player and say, well, who's, you know, not performing to their talent level? And I didn't come up with a lot of guys, to be honest. I mean, obviously the big one is Carson Wentz. And so that's the huge one, where if Carson Wentz were performing even to his 2018 and 2019 levels, I think you're winning the NFC East. You know, you're not a Super Bowl team, but you're at least having a respectable season. But other than that, I mean, I don't know if you guys have done this exercise or can come up with names, but I was kind of going through the roster saying, well, you know, they're pretty much getting what they expected to get from a lot of the guys on defense and really a lot of the guys on offense. Obviously, injuries have been a factor, but, you know, I don't view it as like, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys where I say, man, the coaching staff is doing a horrible job with these guys. The sum is not what you would expect, so they definitely deserve to be dinged there. But in terms of individual players, I mean, a lot of it has come with the regression of Carson Wentz and how they've coached Carson.
Mm-hmm. And until they figure out what's going on with Carson, and something just seems very weird. I mean, you can look in the next year. They're not good enough to do anything if your quarterback is what Carson is this year. You're looking at another tough year next year.
Well, that's the big thing. I mean, if you want to talk big picture, they are not positioned with a lot of flexibility to, like, make a bunch of, you know, dramatic, drastic moves in the offseason and come back with a new roster next year. I mean, they are, you know, there's always some ways to get around the cap, but for the most part, they're capped out. You know, maybe you can add like one key piece, but other than that, that's going to be tough. You look at Carson Wentz's contract. I mean, unless I'm missing something, he's back next year. You know, maybe if he really plays poorly, maybe it's a quarterback competition with Jalen Hurts, but I don't think there's a way you're moving on from him. So yeah, a lot of it is, you're going to be coming back with a lot of the same roster. You know, hopefully if you're the Eagles, you think, all right, we can upgrade a little in the draft. Maybe we can add one free agent, but like, they're not going to be a splashy team, in my opinion, in March this year. They just do not have the financial flexibility, from what I understand, to be able to be one of those teams.
All right, Shiel, Sunday, Browns, you know, that game kind of put people to sleep. They play against the Texans this past Sunday. Maybe you see the same type of game. How do you see it going?
Yeah, I think that it might be that kind of game, sort of an ugly, you know, I think the Eagles might come out and be a little bit conservative there. And certainly the Browns, I mean, their MO is to run the football all day long until they need Baker Mayfield to make a play or until they can run some play action with him. They don't want him making a lot of mistakes. So I think it could be an ugly game. And I did think the Eagles ran the football pretty well last week. So maybe they will get to that a little bit more. You know, I was just looking at the Eagles' next five games and I'm thinking, are they going to win any of these? And it gets even tougher after this Sunday. So I actually think they're going to sneak one out. You know, I think it's going to get tough after that. We might talk for a month after that and I might not pick them in any of those games, mm-hmm. but I think they're going to pull a little bit of an upset this Sunday, maybe get people's hopes up a little bit in sort of an ugly type of game. I've got Eagles 20, Browns 19.
Well, it would make perfect sense, Shiel.
Oh,
they lose last week, and they win this week.
Yep.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
All right, guys. Talk to you next
week. There is Shiel Kapadia, Shiel of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter, at Shiel Kapadia. Yeah, you know what? Like, on a regular year, I would that's – because that's really what I feel is that just when, like, you know, we're down, the Eagles stink, they're not going to win anything, they may not win a game the rest of the season, then they win their first game on their tough stretch.
Well, I mean, most people should realize they aren't going to lose out, right? They're not about to lose six straight games, right? This team isn't that bad. They lose six straight games, and then people will start getting fired. Yep. I just don't see that happening. So wouldn't surprise me if they beat Cleveland Sunday. You know, I thought prior to the bye week they could beat Cleveland as long as they can stop the run. This is going to be about how do you get this team prepared? Where's the mindset of this team? And this isn't me calling for Doug's job or anything. This is me saying – this is the head coach's job. That's what he gets paid to do.
Yep.
You know, I listen to, you know, some of the other shows and the hosts that they want everything to be about the quarterback, right? Because if it's not about the quarterback, you're making excuses for him. Nah. And football coaching actually does matter. And, yeah, players are out there on the field, and it's easy to say, oh, you got to execute. Execute the play that I call. You're right, because the defense is going to sit there and allow you to execute. So it's just as simple as you call the play and your job is go out there and execute at all costs. You can't possibly call the wrong play at the wrong time. Like, that doesn't happen, right? No, that does happen. When you decide to go for 2 points or when you decide to go for it on fourth down in your own territory, you can't just say, I called the play, you guys go execute it. No, it's not that simple. Coaching does matter. And coaching guys throughout the week matters more. On Sunday, it ain't about coaching. It's about managing the game on Sunday. That's what it's about on Sunday. Manage the game. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, that's where coaching matters. So whether it's Carson Wentz, whether it's a cornerback, whether it's a wide receiver not running routes right, what are you telling me? What are you telling me? No matter who the receiver is, the coach shouldn't coach him? Nah, you don't need any coaching. Well, what are you there for then? If it doesn't matter with the coaches, then why are they there? Of course it matters. Of course it matters. And it starts with being honest with what you see on the film and pointing it out to the player and having an answer for him to how to correct it. This ain't high school. So with professional athletes, they're going to give you they're going to know the why. You suggest something, you better have a why you're suggesting it. Especially with accomplished players. It isn't do what I say and go do it. No, when you're talking to accomplished players, you had better have a why you're asking him to do that. Why the way he's doing it is wrong. And you correct that. That goes from the quarterback to offensive line play. You tell me the position that's performing at a high level. And then tell me coaches are doing their jobs. Doing a great job is just on the players. Tell me the position. I'm watching two guards go out there and the damn quarterback is going to be dead before the season's over with. You're telling me that's not coaching?
Yeah.
When you decide to put Sue Opetta out there? Instead of making Jason Kelce play guard and having Jordan Mailata out there? Come on, man. Don't tell me coaching doesn't matter. I got an offensive lineman with a sprained finger or hand, and he's out? What? You can't tell me coaching doesn't matter. It does matter. It matters. And when you allow players to get away with things, then that's what you're going to get on game days. Don't tell me coaching doesn't matter. I played in this league for 9 years, a large part due to coaching. Don't tell me coaching doesn't matter. It matters in this sport. It matters. And you can get better as a player after year four. It's not whatever you are at year four, that's what you're going to be the rest of your career. Nobody can coach you. That's just who you are. Go tell Steve Young that. He turned into a Hall of Famer after leaving Tampa. It matters, man. It matters. It matters. The way they go out there on that field and play, and when they don't play up to your standards, how you address that, how you correct that, it matters. I got so irritated listening to Logan Ryan talk about the Eagles. They don't work as hard as us.
Get that.
What? Job. What? It's one thing, an Eagles team should never be identified as somebody that's soft, a team that don't work hard, a team that ain't tough. Come on, man, that's not no Philly thing. No, that's an Eagle thing. That's what the Eagles have always been. And you hear another player in your division describing your team like that. They don't work hard. We out here working hard. Come on, man. It does matter. That's how coaches change cultures.
Yeah.
It matters.
The Giants were licking their chops coming into this game.
They couldn't wait to play the Eagles.
That's so true. It really is. Man.
They couldn't wait to play them. And you better get your big boy pads on Sunday or you're going to get embarrassed. Because them boys going to run the ball down your throat and take your manhood. That's what they're going to do in Cleveland Sunday. Northeast Ohio, about 30, 20 degrees. Yeah, that's what it's going to be Sunday. I hope they've been out there practicing all week outside, the Eagles I'm talking about. Because you won't be playing in an indoor facility Sunday. You have to deal with the weather.
How's that Cleveland weather, Ike?
It's bone chilling.
Yeah.
Bone chilling. And those boys running down your throat. There ain't going to be no finesse game Sunday. Put your big boy pads on defense. Mm. Jack, get my neck roll.
Yeah, you need it.
That's what
that.
Get my neck roll! The Logan Ryan thing been sticking in my craw since I heard it yesterday, man.
Jack, do you have it? Can we play it? Because like this is Ike that came up with Andy Reid and built a team that went to the Super Bowl, one of the best. The best run in franchise history. And
it wasn't the most talented roster.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. And when you say that you recognize there was good coaching, and what did you do recognizing it was good coaching?
I listened to it.
Yes.
I absorbed it.
You said, this is what I need to be around.
Yes, these guys are making me a good player. Man, they're making me a good player.
Yep.
They get into a good player.
Here's Logan Ryan, Giants corner from yesterday.
We're out here practicing in the rain. When you're sitting there at your office or whatever you guys are doing at noon, go look outside what the weather is. We're out there practicing it. Monsoons, swampy field, we're practicing in it. And I don't think the Eagles are practicing in it. I just really don't. I don't think the Eagles work harder than us. And that's just what it's going to take. I just think that we're the hardest working team in football. And just because we win some games, we can't stop that.
There you go.
Man, that should bother the Eagles.
Mm.
Should bother the play. I want to hear about how pissed off you are. I mean, my goodness, you need to keep telling everybody how pissed off you are. Then, are you really pissed off?
And you know what, though?
Are you really pissed off? I mean, that was like the theme coming out of the locker room this week.
Let me say this about, like, you know, like Doug using something like that to his advantage and that being the theme of the week, which was these guys say that we don't practice like them. But like using something that, like, it's what Belichick did.
Oh, no doubt. Yes.
Belichick turned something that really wasn't even what anybody was trying to say and turns it and uses it the way he wants to.
And the way, you know how we use it, John? I would play it back for everybody and say, this is what the word is out there around the league about how you guys are. This is what they think about you. They don't think you work hard enough. They don't think you're making the sacrifices. They don't, you know what they're really saying? They're not hungry to win.
Yeah.
That's what they're really saying. They don't want it as bad as we do. They don't want it as bad as we do.
Yeah. I saw that Sunday.
I mean, that's what they're saying.
All right. Let's take a phone call here.
All right.
Let's ruin some Sixers fans' days. Let's go to Kyle in Morristown. Hi, Kyle's our Giant fan, so he's still happy. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, what's going on, John?
What's up, buddy?
What's up, Kyle?
I'm at work right now, so I'm going to try and make two quick points. But I am a Sixers fan. I was telling Jack on the line, so I'm definitely excited about the Sixers. I heard somebody say on the Joe DiCamera show earlier, it's nice to see the Sixers kind of go out there and, like, attempt to make themselves a legit contender rather than the Phillies, because I'm also a diehard Phillies fan who just sit on their hands and basically say who wants to uproot in a pandemic. So they are headed in a much better direction than some of the other teams in that town.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, they're heading in the right direction. Yeah.
I'm definitely not saying that maybe they're not title contenders, but it's still, it's positivity, and it gives you something to look forward to, because obviously the Eagles haven't been great. And so I like to think that I'm a reasonable fan in all aspects. So I have two Eagles points here. One is I feel like I should be the LTBB member, not that this would ever be a thing, but for the reasonable Giants fans. Because I watched Carson Wentz Sunday outside of the pocket make some incredible plays when a play was essentially broken down with guys in his face throwing on the run. And he showed that he certainly has the talent to be able to do those types of things. I agree with you. You said the other day he needs to become a better pocket passer, and that's obviously that's clear. I watched Carson Wentz miss multiple throws just from a still pocket. Mm-hmm. But he certainly has the ability to still make those great plays. And then my last point is that I think that the division realistically can almost come down to this game that the Eagles play on Sunday. Because if they can beat the Browns and get to 4 wins, I'm not confident that the Giants can get to 5. And if they both get to 5, then the Giants and the Eagles are going to take it.
The Eagles are going to get it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. And we're about 2 losses away from me being mad about that. Right? Like, we're about 2 losses away from me saying, you know what, man, I'd rather have that top 10 pick.
Mm.
Bad losses, especially if they're bad losses.
Yeah, the kick in the gut Giants loss was a –
Man, I'm telling you.
Where would they be picking?
Yep. Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah, I felt the same.
Man.
215-592-9494. So we're heavy on the Sixers early in the show. It doesn't mean that you can't join us with Eagles stuff. You just heard what we said right there. 215-592-9494.
By the way, what was his name?
Kyle.
Dude, not if it was your last wish, would you ever be in the LTBB,
so
bro?
Giants fans are not allowed in?
Yeah, that's not happening.
Any other opposing fan?
No, that's not happening.
What if it was like a transplant from Los Angeles? No, I don't know.
You got to be an Eagles fan, all man. Right.
But the Eagles are like, you know, the second team because they grew up in Oakland and they love the Raiders or something like that. I don't know.
Whatever. See, that makes it too easy for you to be jumping in and out.
That's true.
Because you're not fully committed to him.
Yeah, look at Jack. In and out.
Exactly.
215-592-9494.
Out.
It's Marks and Reese. 76ers discussion. On the other side, John Calipari, Coach Cal. What did Coach Cal say about the Sixers draft pick?
Oh, that's right.
Night?
We got a Wildcat.
Oh, man.
Finally. It's like the freaking Eagles taking another Pac-12 guy. Can we take a Kentucky kid? Seriously.
That's a good point, Jack. Marks and Reese on 94WIP. Back with Cal on the Sixers new draft pick next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.